Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And I got my OG here with me, K. Scott. What's up, K?
What's going on?
Well, we're back on the mic. Yes, sir. You in town. Got to take advantage of the opportunity. We just got done speaking to all the secretaries in the state of Utah that work in middle schools and high schools. So big shout out to all the secretaries working hard to keep your schools together so it doesn't fall apart. Because me and Kenna found out something today. Actually, we already knew this, but we got confirmation of this today.
There we go.
And what we got confirmation today is that the secretaries that work there don't get paid millions, but they're worth millions.
You bet you they are.
Because those lights would not come on. Message, like, stuff would not get done. Yep. They are the bridge between their community, the youth, and their school. So thank you to all the secretaries out there, regardless what industry you work at, because let's face it, without you guys, things would not go smoothly. Okay? So what we did is, whenever we speak, we ask the audience to send in some questions for us so we can answer on the podcast. So we're not going to say who's sending these questions. We're not going to give their name. We're just going to say their initials. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say their initials either. But we're going to answer a couple questions today. And so shout out to all the people who sent in the questions. And also these questions are going to be helpful questions to anyone here that listens to the podcast. So let's kick it off. Okay, why don't you give us the first question?
All right. First question of the day. How do we help a fellow secretary who has become very ornery or ornery?
Ornery.
The spelling is kind of there, you know, ornery and irritable.
All right. That's a good one. Well, what does ornery mean, Kay?
Combative.
Combative.
Right. Okay. Very combative.
And irritable, easily agitated?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so combative and agitated. So it's someone you work with.
Yep.
Right? They're agitated and combative.
Right.
So that makes you get that smoke, like you get that energy, like you get that anxiety. Because we've all known someone whose their anxiety is off the chart. It's like, dang, you're giving me anxiety.
It's like, wearing off
freaking
on me.
Out, right? Yep. And so in a work environment, it could cause things to be pretty uncomfortable, awkward, and maybe even could cause some confrontation.
Right. Yep. Yep.
But it sounds like the person who said this, just the way they put it, like, how do we help a fellow secretary? It sounds like they know her or him in
well
a different
enough.
Way. Yeah. That they're like, this is not normally how they are.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we talked to the secretaries today and we gave them a tool that I've talked a lot about on the podcast called Statements versus Questions. The reason why I love to share this tool, because it's so simple and so basic, but also people can hear this over and over again and they still can use some extra help with it.
Yep.
It's something really hard to do. So basically, in short, statements versus questions, you want to lead with statements to break the ice with someone. Because if you come at someone, like, let's say I'm working with you, you're a secretary, I'm a secretary, and you're being honorary, you're being irritable. If I were to come at you like, dude, like I don't know, Stacy. I always use Stacy and Steve for someone. It's like, hopefully no one's name is Stacy. It's like Stacy. It's like, Stacy, like, what's wrong? Like, why are y'all in such a bad mood? Like, is everything all right? Now, even though I may be trying to help Stacy, when someone comes to you like that, look at my facial expression. For the people on the video, it's like, what's wrong? It's like, is everything all right? You look like you're uncomfortable. You look like you're irritated because they're irritated. And it doesn't necessarily look like you want to help them. It looks like you're questioning them.
Yes.
Okay. So we broke this down and how you don't want to lead with questions because it triggers defensiveness from people. Everybody's been questioned their whole entire life.
Yes.
Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? If you got a, you know, a spouse or partner to come home, if they start going, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? It's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to come home after a long day and be questioned and interrogated.
At all.
Right. So we went over this with the secretaries, but I think this is a perfect way to add some detail, how to use statements in this specific situation. Because when you have someone struggling like that, step one, as soon as you know they're struggling, now that you know about, you want to use statements to engage with them and connect with them before you ask them any questions. So in a situation like this, the step one, you want to make sure that when you do address them, it's one-on-one and no one else is around. Why is that important, Kay, in a work environment to not address someone who's being irritable and ornery in front of other coworkers?
Because now it seems like you're pointing them out.
calling them out.
Yeah, calling them out. And so that can drop even a ripple effect of them acting out and lashing out even more.
Yeah. And I'm going to be more, you know, defensive and, mm-hmm. and, you know, get more irritated if someone calls me out in front of other people.
Ooh.
I mean, growing up, I know your generation, you're a little bit younger than me, obviously, but I know when I was growing up, it's like, people would be like, don't come at me like that. Right, like, exactly. You know, you're coming at me sideways right now. Ooh. It's like, and that was always a sign of disrespect.
Yes.
And the reason why it's a sign of disrespect mm-hmm. is because for the people that were at our presentation, you've already heard us say this, but for the reason why that's a sign of disrespect is because our ancestors, this mm-hmm. is well documented in research, they weren't isolated and called out in front of other people unless mm-hmm. what? Remember what we just talked about? When did people get called out? Our ancestors, hunter-gatherers.
Uh-huh.
Did they get called out because they're influencers and they're above everybody?
Oh, no.
What did you have to do to get called out in front of the tribe?
You had to do something crazy.
Yeah, do something crazy. You had to like take too much food. Yeah. You had to like, you know, sleep with someone's wife yeah. or something. Like, well, hey, man. Like,
you'll probably get hung.
Exactly. Probably get hung, right? Point is that whenever you were called out,
mm-hmm.
it was always because you were in trouble,
mm-hmm.
right? So that gets passed on through generation yeah. to generation. So when someone calls us out in front of other people, it's like, hey, man, like, yeah. you trying to make me look stupid? You trying to make me look bad? So step yep. one, do it on the down low.
Got to.
Pull them off to the side. And use something called connection before concern. It's a very mm-hmm. simple thing. Go up to Stacy. Hey, Stacy, just want to let you know that I noticed you've been, you know, seeming really stressed lately.
Yes.
I just want to let you know I got you. Mm-hmm. If there's anything you need, like, in fact, I'd really appreciate it if you let me help you out.
Yes.
And if Stacy says, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just look at it. Stacy, you've always been there for me. Mm-hmm. Please let me help you out. I know you're a tough, strong person.
Yep.
Sometimes you can give someone a compliment by telling them that they're too strong.
Mm-hmm.
You can give someone a compliment by saying like, yeah, you're biting off more than you can chew. You said you're going to do 30 things when you only got time to do 3. Let me help you.
Yeah.
Right. You're telling someone, let me help you.
Yep.
Let me do this for you. Make those statements. Let her know. Now at that moment, she goes, well, no, I'm fine right now. I say, okay, I'll just let you know. Whenever I see, you know, you're a little off or whenever I see that you're just not having a good day mm-hmm. or whatever, I'm going to start doing stuff for you and you're going to yes. have to tell me no. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to jump right and do it because I know you do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh. It's called reverse psychology, yep. aka Jedi mind trick is like, let me help you be your friend you will.
Mm-hmm. And then I allow you to do the second step is permission to come aboard.
Permission to come aboard. Mm-hmm. So after, just like Kay said, after you get your coworker in the situation mm-hmm. to open up and start talking, they feel a little comfortable. Then you can say, hey, this is just an example. You don't have to answer this question, but is there something going on in your own personal life that maybe, again, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to tell me anything. Like, I just know for me, I don't just wake up being pissed off and angry or being like frustrated. There's some things going on. So just let you know, if you ever want to talk about it, like I'll take a time. We'll take a little break, go outside, mm-hmm. you know? And we'll talk about it. Just want you to know I got your back and I'm here for you.
And why is it important for them to lead with a question? Well, lead with a statement rather than leading with a question.
Yeah, because a statement is like breaking the ice,
mm-hmm.
right? Questions, even if someone has good intention, even when like the one I use, the example is like, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the number one response, and this was a study, it was done many, many years ago, so a lot of people probably heard of this. Number one response, and it was a test, it was a survey done with women, said the number one response or the number one lie that women tell. That's mm-hmm. what it says. The number one lie that women tell is I'm fine.
That's what those two words.
Okay. And I think the same thing with guys. A lot of guys, I'm cool. I'm fine. Good. Like it's all good. I'm good.
Yep. Yep.
If they did survey guys, I'm good with women. I'm fine. Yeah. That's the only difference. Right. And so the reason why you want to lead with a statement is you're saying, hey, I'm not saying you're broken. Nothing wrong with you. I'm just observing something. Mm-hmm. And because I care about you, and you've cared for me before,
yep.
I feel like I have the right to say something. Yes. When you really care about someone, you have the right to bring it up to them. But mm-hmm. if you come at them with questions, you may have good intentions,
right.
but it may make them feel like other people in their life, they're questioning them. And also, by the way, when you ask yourself a bunch of questions, like, why do I always screw up? Why can't I pick the right person to date? Why do I always do this? Yep. Why do I always do that? When you're questioning yourself,
mm-hmm.
it has the same effect on
That's
you.
Good.
It gets you in your feelings in not a good way. It makes That's you feel good. Like you're the problem. It makes you feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. It can make you feel like a victim, like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So once you get the statements going, you get them to start talking with you, the permission to come aboard is simply, hey, would you mind if I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Would you mind to share more information with me?
Yep.
I don't mean to bug you or nag you. And you don't have to, but I'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to ask questions in those situations, they already know why you're asking the question.
Yes.
And that's a problem when people just lead with questions. The person you're questioning, they don't know why you're asking them the question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you've experienced this a couple times with your wife before, right?
Yeah, just a little bit. Not too much. Couple just a little bit.
Come home like, hey, how come the kid's acting crazy? Next you know, you got to dodge a shoe.
You're, yep, all that. Shoe, blankets, pillows. Yeah, all that.
Because even when we try to help, calling out the problem and question the person that we're trying to help does not make them feel like they're being helped. Mm. It make them feel like they're being interrogated. Make them feel like they're sitting in the courtroom like, where were you the night of July 23rd at 9:52 p.m.? You know what I mean? And then you start thinking like, where was I at that time?
They don't. Mm-mm. That's a bad predicament to be in.
So that's our answer for you. To help out your friend, make it personal. Connect with them. Tell them how much you care about them, how much they mean to you, and that you know that if you were struggling, having a hard time, they would be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get them to open up, then you can start asking questions to get to a little bit deeper situation. Follow them throughout the course of that time when they're going through that. Point out to them what you see in observation, but don't point out in a questioning way.
Mm, yep.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. Let's get to another question, right? You want to read this one? Yeah, let's read that top one.
The top one? Yeah. All right. The top one reads, how can I help inspire my husband who is currently battling depression without making him feel like I'm nagging him or telling him what to do?
This sounds like another statement.
I was just about to say that.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me what you think about that? Now, you're not the professional therapist.
Right. I'm going to leave that to you.
You're the protege. You're the social health guru yourself. Let me see what you got.
As I'm reading this, you know, the first step I would like to do is acknowledge the feeling that you're noticing or observing from them. Like he's battling depression. All right, second step. Related to your experiences of how you may have felt in a situation that you personally may have felt depressed in a situation. That way, the last step, which is figuring out a solution or an outcome that can best suit, you know, both of you guys in this party. So for me, if I'm looking at him, I mean, I'm looking at this situation and seeing, saying, how can I help inspire my husband who is currently battling depression? First thing I'll do is think, okay, what is the feeling? All right, depression makes people feel lonely. Things of that nature. And so
motivation, negative self-talk,
all that. So my first step is like, okay, babe, I'm your wife. I'm observed that lately you haven't been yourself. You've been kind of down. And me being your wife, obviously I've had my bouts and I've felt similar situations when this situation happened to me. You give an example.
You know what I'm saying right now?
Uh-huh.
Catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Exactly.
Keep going.
And then
talk to him, Kay.
What I found out that works best for me, or what I think helped me in this scenario, was doing this. If you need anything, I'm here for you. Just walk out. Just leave.
You know, that's such a great way. And granted, that was just one example. It's such a great way to approach it because when you observe that something's off with them,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't like to be seen?
That's big, right?
Right. The only time you don't like to be seen is when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
Right,
right. That's the only time you don't want to be seen, right?
Everybody want to be seen.
Exactly, but when someone says, hey, I noticed, you know, you don't seem like yourself today. Even if you're just tired, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm just tired. But you don't get mad. It's like, don't ever pay attention to me and try to help me. Right. Don't care about my life and my feelings.
Exactly.
Everybody likes that, right?
Yes.
And so I love what you said, just observing like, hey, honey, like, you just haven't seen yourself lately. And so I'm just thinking like, you don't have to tell me about this, but I'm just thinking like, maybe that depression thing, if it's something that's been talked about, talking about, maybe that depression thing is something that is sneaking up on you again. Because mm-hmm. I know it's not always like that with you. Like sometimes you're okay, but man, right now it's not. So like, I'll sit here and tell you all day long what you need to do,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to tell you what you do. I'm just going to tell you that whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do, I got your back. And you're not alone while you're doing it.
And who doesn't love support? Like, come on, man.
Well, as long as the right support.
But, okay, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes people think, hey, I'm going to tell you what to do with your life and all the things you're doing wrong. And that's my way. That's my language of love. Well, that's called criticism. And even though you may have intention to like, hey, I want to help this person out, the support's got to be packaged just right.
Mm-hmm.
It can't come in a package with a bunch of thorns and pokey things on it. When they try to open up, it hurts them, gets them all in their feelings. You definitely want to give the support. Like you said, you want to give the support from an arm's distance.
Yes.
First saying, I'm here. I got you. I don't want to step over bounds. So I'm going to be over here and do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you need some help, I'll help you. But I'm not going to force you to do anything because I know this isn't who you are.
Right.
I know it's just what you're going through right now.
Exactly.
I love you. Give him a kiss. And just kind of sit there and see what happens. Man, whenever my wife comes at me like that, and whenever she's just like, I would like to help.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. When I'm depressed and having a down day, this summer I was battling with COVID again. I was out of work for like almost 2 months. my wife came in and she's like, what's wrong? What's going on?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't know. Find a long COVID clinic. Tell me what's going on. Like, I can't even figure out what's going on with me. But when my wife came and said, hey, I would like to help.
Mm.
I'm going to make you this. I'm going to do this. Yeah. Unless you tell me to stop, I'm going to do it. And sometimes like, well, I don't want to inconvenience you, because when you're strong with depression, you don't want to be a burden.
Right.
And you don't want to be someone's service project.
Ooh, that's real.
You want people to help you, but you don't want to feel like it's so obvious that you need help that they're giving you sympathy. You want to feel that people are relating to you. They're connecting with you. So they're offering you help because this connection's so strong, not because they feel bad for you. They feel like you're incapable of it. Even if you are incapable of it, you know, especially a man, you want to be like, hey, honey, you look really weak and feeble and incapable of running your own life and thinking for yourself. Mm-hmm. Let me take over your finances for you. That's usually not what someone wants to hear. The best way in those situations, like, I see this, like you said, you observe it, you point it out, pull them aside one-on-one. Of course, you want to keep it, you know, no one else around, and then let them know, hey, I could leave. I could start doing these things. Please communicate to me which you'd like best.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't want to feel like they're a burden, you know, sometimes they may be like, no, no, I'm good. I'm okay. And it's like, no, you need something to eat. I'm going to make something to eat. No, no, no. Okay. And then they start eating it.
And I love how you give the double door scenario. Like, you're like, hey, you can, you think there's two doors. They can go this route or this route. And I love you gave them options. You don't, it's not feeding them down their throat. Like, oh, you got to go this way. It's like, look, you got two options here as far as being able to be supported.
Yeah, and when I work with people who are depressed, sometimes you do need to give them space.
Mm-hmm.
But when you give them space, they're waiting for you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't want you to give them all the space, especially in a spouse situation. Sure. Like in this situation, like if your husband's feeling really depressed, it's like, I just need to be left alone. And say, okay, I'm going to leave you alone for a little bit, but I'm going to come back.
Right.
Because I don't want you to think I don't care. That's a problem. One of the challenges of depression is communicating your most sincere thoughts, feelings, and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the diagnosis. Difficulty articulating your thoughts and feelings.
That's real.
So if you just expect someone's like, hey, tell me what to do for you, and they're like, I don't even know what's wrong with me. How the heck are they supposed to tell you what they need when they don't even know what's really wrong with them?
Or if
they're embarrassed about what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to assert yourself in those situations and say, I'm going to give you some space, but I'm also going to come back.
Right.
Where I'm going to help you until you tell me to stop. And then when they tell you that's enough, give them some space and come back again. Try not to take it personal for the person who answered this question. Anyone listens, try not to take it so personal that whatever their reaction is, just know, specifically talking to this woman, if your husband snaps you or if he gets a little grumpy with you, trust me, it doesn't matter who he's married to. He'd be doing the same thing. He could be married to Stacy. You know,
Rebecca,
Linda, Brittany, doesn't matter who it is.
It don't matter.
He's at that place right now at that particular moment. You can either help it or you can make it worse. And the best way to help it is to not question him and get him to try to figure out on the spot what's going on.
Yep. That's good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for those questions. I'll be answering some more of those questions in the upcoming episodes. Thank you guys as always. You can follow us on OG Therapy on Instagram. It's OG.therapy. You can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI_. You can follow K Scott.
Yes, at @KScott_2. Very simple.
And you can also start watching our episodes on YouTube underneath OG Therapy, formerly Light the Fight. Thank you guys as always for giving us your questions, for listening to us. Until next time, be cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.